This is the Rob, Anybody, and Dawn Show. 3 decades of settling arguments like, are you a man if you order salmon at a steakhouse? You're welcome. And now back to Rad Radio.
Got this email, rad@radradio.com, from a member of the Kyle Army. One of the many Kyles that we have listening. By the way, we have an entire line of Kyle Army gear available at radradio.com in the stupid store.
Superstore.
Best logo we've ever made. It looks nothing like the KISS logo at
all. Yes, it is. And if you want to be part of the Kyle Army or be just a Kyle in general, you need to have one. All Kyles must have a Kyle Army shirt.
And you don't even have to be a Kyle to be in the Kyle Army. It just means you love Kyle or you're in the Army or whatever. But for this Kyle, stop it!
What?
God, not you, this Kyle emailed
me. I wasn't looking. I was trying to do notes and then I hear stop it and I'm like, what the hell was I doing? Sorry.
What were you doing?
Back
he
to
was guilty already.
Back to the 10 things he has to do when he's in the Rad TV chair.
Right, writing personal shopping lists.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Segment 602, 635. When Rob changed shopping
lists. Morons! I swear, we dealt with this on the sports show, the Mixed Pick Sports Show that we do every morning at 10 a.m. with Steve Mickelson on Rad TV and the membership site, the Rad app, and in Sacramento on 104.7 FM and 890 AM. Somebody sent in an email on the fly that the San Francisco Giants had banned children from attending the games, and anybody under 17.
Good.
And we were like, that right away. I mean, first of all, we were like, there's no way that's
no
true.
Way.
I got to look into it. Steve went on a rant about all the memories of he and his, taking his kids
of
going
course,
as a kid.
Yes.
I went with my. It was an April Fool's joke, dude.
Oh, my God.
That's all it was. It was printed and gone in one day. And yet, here is this Kyle on April 18th sending it to me as a legitimate story that
Kyle. How do you not look into that? Like, that's a major thing. How do you not come across that story and double, triple, quadruple check it? Honestly.
That's what it was.
How do you pass that along to anybody, or even for yourself? Don't you want to know?
So it's like any average American who's just spewing whatever they see or hear on social media, like say about politics and things, right?
Exactly.
Like the same
thing? Yeah. Headline reading, things like that.
I was going to say it has its place, not with politics, though, but like with other fun things.
Fun things,
yeah.
Letting us down, Kyle.
I'm not sure that not knowing the actual truth ever has its place, but I digress.
Yeah.
I don't see anything fun about not having the truth.
I know, because you're facts man.
Yeah, well, and also being the victim of often having things, being accused of things that aren't true.
Yeah, no, it has to
things
be fun
like that.
Things.
Oh,
I would hope someone didn't find that fun.
Oh, believe me, it's fun. It is fun for them.
That's terrible.
Speaking of not knowing and all that, Kyle asked me because a friend of his texted him about, well, the Kings, the Sacramento Kings, they play tomorrow against the New Orleans Pelicans, and if the Kings win tomorrow, they're in the playoffs. These aren't the playoffs, according to the NBA. You have to play in
pre-playoffs?
To get to the playoffs, which begins Saturday.
These games are crap.
If the Kings lose, they're out. And Kyle's friend had texted him that, well, hey, if the Kings lose, we get a first-round draft pick. So I did look into it. It is as I expected. Way convoluted. I'm not even going to begin. Half of the audience of the Mixed Pick Sports Show's eyes are going to glaze over when we try to explain.
Damn.
Essentially, Kyle's friend is somewhat right in that the Kings will be in what the – if you know the NBA, you know what the lottery is for the draft. They will have the smallest amount of chance of getting the first pick, but they will have a first-round pick, and I believe that the worst they could do is like the 12th or the 14th pick or something.
It's not even that good.
So potentially. I mean, there's this outside chance if the Kings lose and then they win the lottery, they could have like the first pick.
Ooh.
The likeliness of that is very small.
This whole draft thing, I know that the NFL draft is next week. It's a big deal.
Yes.
I know a ton of people are going to be watching it. But when it comes to the draft in general, and especially in this case, like if the Kings lose, supposedly they're supposed to get a first round pick. Is that really, that feels like a consolation prize? And how does that make the team feel when it's
rather,
we need to get some fresh meat in here to make us better?
You'd rather win. I mean, as a player of the team, as an athlete, you'd rather win, get into the playoffs, and then win. I mean, that's the idea. And it is somewhat of a consolation prize. And the other problem, too, and this is the thing, is we all, especially with the NFL, and the draft means we're picking kids, the league, the teams, we're picking kids out of college that we want to come play for our team. And we make these extraordinary, we spend weeks on our draft boards and figuring out who's going to go first and who the best players are and which players translate their college games to the pros. And we have history is littered. It's an ash heap of all of the first round picks who went. Alex Smith was a number one pick in the NFL the same year. And Alex Smith had a decent career as a quarterback in the NFL. But it was the same year that the San Francisco 49ers could have drafted a guy named Aaron Rodgers first.
Yeah.
But they took Alex Smith. Meanwhile, Tom Brady and Brock Purdy get picked in the sixth and seventh rounds. Amazing. Brock Purdy was picked last.
Irrelevant.
And then they go on.
But I do love, though, that y'all still year after year are going
to
do that.
Of course. Just like year after year, we're going to tell you when the season starts, who's going to the Super Bowl, and who's going to win every single time.
The best things in life are free. We're gonna help you pay some bills and fees. With Rough Change. That's what I want. With Rough Change. That's what I want. With Rough Change. Make your best guess and estimate. The calculation in Rough's are of change. With Rough Change. That's what I want. With Rough Change. That's what I want. With Rough Change.
Caller 18 to win Rough's change. Hello, Kevin.
Red.
Kevin!
We've had six guesses and six clues from Michelle, the pressure cooker calculator, working on our next mega bucket. There was, for a lot of people yesterday, there were two out-of-nowhere turns with the 6:30 and the 9:30 clues. But if you have figured out what she's talking about and you have the right amount of money, you're going to win it. What is your guess?
$1,984.67.
You lose. Oh, man. Brings us to clue number seven. And again, this will make zero sense if you don't have not only the previous six clues, but especially the sixth clue. Because it begins with the word but, which refers back to clue number six, which I cannot repeat. You have to have it. You have to, or find it, or whatever. Clue number seven is, but be careful, recreational weed is still illegal in Florida.
What the hell does that mean?
Whoa, okay. What are we doing here?
I'm connecting the dots.
But be careful. Wait, really, Kyle, that's what you're focused on, is why recreational weed is illegal in Florida?
Yeah.
Because the voters haven't approved it. That's why. Can we go back to the point of the game?
Sure.
I know it's illegal, but they're all high on bath salts over there, so they don't need weed.
Clue number seven, but be careful. Recreational weed is still illegal in Florida.
Now, okay, Brandon, I kind of see what we might be doing now.
Okay. All right.
Maybe.
And if you can, and if what we might be doing can lead you to the right number, you can win. We'll play again at 9:30. Meanwhile, you have a second chance to win Rob's change, at least today and tomorrow you do. You got to use Circles with an S. That's the social media positivity app you can download anytime free from the App Store. And then you just follow friends and people you trust. And you see what they recommend in over 1,500 different categories. Once you're doing that, if you want a second chance at Win Rob's change, you just have to create a group chat, which you do on the homepage of your Circles app. It's down there in the lower left-hand corner, messages button. You hit that, and you use your contacts, and you reach out to up to seven of your friends who are not using Circles. They can't be on Circles already. They can't delete their Circles app. And then you invite them into the chat. They're on to that. Remember, when you start this chat, you have to include the Circles buddy. Spelled with an S again. It's a husky. That's their mascot, started from the beginning.
Are you the mascot? Husky.
Really?
Yeah.
2 days in a row, you're going to roll that joke out? You can do that.
I did it yesterday.
You can do that tomorrow, too? Because it's the last day we'll be promoting this.
I mean, benchmarks matter, right?
In the group chat. So let's say you get five friends in your group chat. Each of you have five guesses. What is the final answer to win Rob's change? And you just start guessing within the group chat, but you have to do so before tomorrow night at midnight. And then we're going to save them all. Once we know what the winning answer is, we will go back and we will find the person within any of their chats who either had the answer exactly right or came closest first. It's all about, so that's kind of the challenge here. As I've mentioned, you could wait till tomorrow at 9:30 when we've then at that point had 10 guesses and 10 clues. And I doubt we'll have a winner by then. Who knows? But then you could make all of your guesses. Again, five people are in your chat. You get five guesses. You can make them all.
That's 25.
Well, between the five of you. Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
Quick math.
But. And by the way, you don't all have to. You could split this up. Like two of you could be doing it now. Three of you could be waiting. But if you wait until tomorrow at 9:35 after you've heard the last guess and clue, What if somebody sent the exact same number you sent and it winds up being the closest and they did it yesterday? Because that's the danger of waiting.
That's right. Gotcha.
So that's part of the strategy. All of this is laid out in the rules, by the way, at radradio.com over the features section. You can see where the rules are. It's all tied in, by the way, also to the fact that tomorrow at midnight is your last chance to invest in this round of the WeFunder campaign for Circles, the social media positivity app. There's no connection between WinRob's change and investing, but all of the details are there. We're all invested in some way, one way or another. A lot of you are, a ton of you are. In fact, we're going to meet a ton of you tonight at the Circles party for certain investors that was laid out years ago. Looking forward to that. And you can invest just by going to radradio.com and clicking on the Circles app, and it'll take you right over to the WeFunder page. WinRob's change again at 9:30. Back to a few more emails. We got this note from Xavier.
Hey, Xavier.
Every morning at 11 a.m. on the Rad Radio app and in Sacramento on 104.7 FM and 890 a.m. after the Mixed Pick Sports Show, we go to Classic Rad, where we go back at least 5 years. Yesterday, while it was playing at 12:23 p.m., Xavier wrote in and said, "Who is that other woman on the show? I think her name is Amanda. I haven't been listening that long." There is, because we go back at least 5 years, and depending on how far back we go, there were other people, other voices that are on the show. And Amanda was a part of the show 4 or 5 years, so she was featured yesterday because we went back to, I think, 2017 or so.
It could have been me because my voice didn't drop just yet, and I think Amanda's voice was deeper than mine.
One of the folks that comes and does work on our building was here yesterday, and they're like, "Oh my God, I'm loving these best ofs," because whatever we were discussing yesterday took him back to something he was dealing with as well at the time, so it brought him back. And he also was like, "Okay, wait, I've been listening for a long time. Who was that girl?"
Some people come and go and such. But yes, we do go back today. We go back 9 years to 2015. By the way.
Jesus, 9 years.
Can I do a quick on-air critique, Kyle?
Yeah, what's up?
Can you get me a positive thing to promote about Classic Rad?
Oh, man, I'm going for the controversial ones.
We got the dude last week who's having sex with his underage niece. I don't remember what the hell the other thing was.
Good Lord.
Today it's a caller asking me if it's ever okay to hit a woman.
What?
If a woman is attacking you as a man. And I do tell the story, but going back to my college days, of a friend and I breaking up a fight where a guy was attacking his girlfriend on the street, and the girlfriend's response was to cold cock me, and get into the issue of how and so much has changed, by the way, in 9 years. I'm sorry if I could finish my thought that I was
please,
in the middle of.
You know, I prefer you to.
So much has changed as well in 9 years, especially with the emergence of the ever-growing incidence of domestic violence against men, it becomes harder and harder to just do that old school, you never hit a woman thing. In the end, the message of the segment is no one should be hitting anyone, which of course is never going to happen in this country.
It's not.
My point being, I don't know how uplifting that is, that it makes people go, "Oh, I've got to hear this segment." But there's other things. That's just one of the many things.
But at least with these big ones, it's kind of... Because the biggies are usually sometimes where you do change how you feel about something as life goes on, right?
Course.
And as you said, that one advanced a little because, yes, thank God it gets talked about more, that men also do get physically abused. And sometimes you want to protect yourself in that aspect where you're, yes, a man can be a victim in a relationship and getting abused just like a woman can.
And because women are also, for a variety of reasons, so many more are into a variety of self-defense classes, taekwondo, things like, this is why it's not prominent, but it is not in any way surprising that you see men kicking the crap out of women in action movies. Whether it be Bruce Willis in Live Free or Die Hard, whether it be Jason Statham in Beekeeper. There are endless scenes, and because the women, the Equalizer 2, the head of the CIA, former head of the CIA, is a woman, obviously trained well. She gets in a brawl with two dudes at once, and they go back and forth and kick the crap out of each other. And for the most part, most of us sit there and go, "Hey, this is all part of it. You're trained now. You're trying to protect yourself. This is what could happen, etc." So yes, there's Classic Rad today, from 11 a.m. 3 p.m. Now, here's a random email that came in yesterday from one of our Briannas.
Hey, Brianna.
Says, "Rob, do you have a good chicken paprikash recipe that you like?"
What is that?
I
is that
sorry.
Poprakash.
I have the Rad Radio cookbooks, but I don't know if I've seen one for Poprakash to the what is that question.
Yeah, I thought they were maybe mispronouncing or misspelling something. I've never heard that.
Paprika, which is the paprika Ooh. Part of Poprakash.
I love paprika, smoked paprika.
It found its way to Hungary in the 16th century. And made its culinary home there. And on its own, unlike cayenne or chili powder, paprika is a fairly mundane spice, but used appropriately in chicken paprikash, it generates a wonderful flavor, bringing out the best in all of the foods around it. It's a famous Hungarian dish that is basically a thick chicken stew in a hearty red sauce.
Mm.
Now, what's fascinating about what I just read is that I read it from page 80 of the Rad 2020 cookbook, where I have my chicken paprikash recipe
Interesting.
Posted.
You know all the entrees.
Not sure what Brianna missed there.
I prefer my paprikash with pepper on it. Would you like some pepper on my paprikash?
Everything that would be stewy like that is listed in the ingredients section under soups. Maybe that's what threw her off, but it is.
Oh, yeah.
It is in the 2020 cookbook, which is available at radradio.com in the stupid store.
Superstore.
What does the baby from Family Guy have to do with this?
Stewy. I knew it.
Did you?
Isn't there a saying that's a bunch of poppycosh, or is it poppy the other
poppycock.
Word?
Poppycock.
I wasn't sure if I could say that. Okay.
Well, yes,
yeah,
because poppycock
it came from
is
that,
its own
right?
thing. No, it did not. No, they're in no way related.
Are you making that poppycock again?
Kyle could
that's
be a real
poppycock.
Kyle could be a real poppycock sometimes.
No,
that's
me.
That's the wrong use of that. Yeah, poppycock means BS.
Oh,
yeah, it means
man, that's a bunch of poppycock.
Malarkey, yeah. Poppycock,
we
BS.
Bring that back.
They're all the same.
I like it.
We got a few emails after our discussion yesterday in the entertainment pile. These are all sent to rad@radradio.com. We talked about a movie on Amazon Prime called Land of Bad, which an emailer actually alerted me to over the weekend, and even said in her email, she said, your wife, who served 12 years, did a year in Afghanistan, you might need to do a preview with her because there's certain things that she's honest about she does or doesn't want to see. She watched the trailer. And she said, "Yeah, let's check it out because it's doing very well. It's widely watched. So it was something pressing to me. I want to be able to talk about it on the show. So we did watch it over the weekend. Russell Crowe and Liam Hemsworth star in it. It's about a Delta Force that go in to perform a rescue mission. And like everything else that happens when anything is involved, and everything from war to rescue missions, everything goes wrong. Russell Crowe's back in Vegas at Nellis Air Force Base. He's watching everything through satellites and drones and has the ability to provide air cover. Liam Hemsworth is part of this Delta Force that goes in, has to try to take on not just a gang that has kidnapped the asset they're trying to get, but here comes some Arabian terrorists as well, Muslim terrorists or whatever, things like that. And I mentioned when I was talking about the movie that it's extraordinary. It's totally realistic. My wife, she tapped out on me twice, but she did come back and she finished the movie. The first time she tapped out on me, she just said, pause it. And she was being very emotional. I just let her sit for a few minutes and then she said, go for it. The second time was she was out. She said, that's it. Go finish it in your office. She wasn't a jerk about it. I was like, you got it. And then she walked into my office 10 minutes later and said, all right, do I need to see what I've missed? And I said, no, actually, you picked a really good time to miss the movie. Yeah. And here's the only thing that happened that I can explain. And then we finished. So she did finish it. So there are a few things that came in. Randall says, I'm with you, Rob. My wife is still serving. She's 20 years in the Army.
Oh, thank you so much.
With movies like Lone Survivor and Land of Bad, when she knows better, I think there's an obligation to finish that washes over her, almost as if she needs to honor those who she knows and knew that have been there. And again, I hypothesized that yesterday. I did not speak to Christina about that. I still haven't. It's not important to me. It's like, look, she went through something that I can't imagine. Even though I've been told certain things, it's my impression that that things in Land of Bad in particular are, I know for a fact things that you see in Land of Bad are things that she either experienced, did, or know people firsthand who did experience, see, hear, do, etc. And so these things, you know, affect people, I think, that have seen it. And I have, look, we all, PTSD used to only be about the military. I am so glad that over the last decade, we have acknowledged that post-traumatic stress disorder applies to every single one of us.
Yeah.
Dawn, I don't know if Dawn would say she still has any, but she had it for decades from her childhood. Most of us do, for different reasons. And the minute you lose the argument is when you start comparing PTSD.
Oh, gosh,
oh well, Dawn's
yeah, no.
is worse than mine was.
No,
well,
God.
But I didn't experience it.
Yeah, I don't like when people do that. I've had friends disregard their childhood because of mine. I'm like, no. No,
mm-mm.
Yours is they're the same to me. Although I do the same in the sense where like I hear stories and I'm like, damn, wow, what happened to me was a cakewalk compared to what I just heard. I think it's just something we do and we say in the moment. But I think when you're getting really serious about it, everyone's is valid. It's how we each take on whatever happens to us
exactly
on whatever
exactly.
level.
And so like my point of starting that was there are two in no way compare the two, as we just pointed out. I have PTSD from things I have seen on ride-alongs.
Oh.
Having done 36 ride-alongs with local law enforcement agencies, I will never forget the sight of that knife sticking out of that kid's neck.
No.
For example.
No.
Or other horrific things that I have seen that I am quote triggered by. And you can talk about them and you can go to therapy, you know, they still live with you.
Sure.
And so imagine experiencing them on the level of what we're kind of talking about here and what they might do to you.
Did the kid with the knife, did he survive? Was it like a life-threatening thing?
It was quite life-threatening.
Oh, yeah.
This is the thing, is that in it's only in very rare cases where you get a follow-up. Those stories where you hear of a cop visits the hospital the next day and it's a child or whatever. The reason you hear those stories is it's very rare. This was a gang-related incident.
Oh.
We did not hear a follow-up, and yeah. I never asked again.
So with your knowledge of psychology back in community college and incorporating it into your radio career,
yes.
how do you get over traumatic experiences like that with PTSD? Do you have any knowledge of that, and why does it go so deeply into scarring your brain? Because I remember when I had a car accident where I hit a pedestrian, it was the shock of seeing somebody's eyes roll in the back of their head and the blood come out of their mouth and everything. And it still is there. Like everything else I can kind of block out, but that scene, no.
So some of it, I mean, truly getting over it, quote, no one's ever really cured of PTSD. It's learning to manage it and learning to understand it, own it, realize what you do or don't have a role in, how it affected you, why it affects you, accepting that it affects you. I've been honest on the air. My wife knows, and I know, she does not like to be around large crowds of people where she does not feel as though she has an exit point. When we go to concerts, when we go to shows, it is my job to lead her and always to have vision of where our escape plan is, etc. That's just one example, and that's one way to deal with it. But you have to embrace it, deal with it. I don't think you can do it on your own. I'm not saying you have to go to therapy, but you got to talk to someone. You got to get it out there. You got to realize that it did happen, why it happened, and recognize your triggers, and then recognize how far do I want to go down the rabbit hole when you are triggered, sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think therapy obviously is a great way to start, especially for you, Kyle, if you want to just talk it through. But there's also other methods, like they've actually been studying psilocybin and MDMA for veterans who have PTSD. It's like small micro doses of those things that can help rewire the brain, and they've been proven to work from what I've read, but there's various techniques that they could use.
I think that for a lot of people it gets kind of like it all comes back to therapy some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And you really got to work it,
right? Whether it's professional therapy or not.
Yeah. Yes. But it's like it's not, well, in my experience, but again, we're all different, in my experience with myself and other people I know, it's not anything they were able just to forget about. And just as time went on, it just got less and less. It's weird. It's not like, you know, when you lose a loved one, I'm sure most of us have lost someone we love. It is heart-wrenching and painful and gut-wrenching at first. And as time goes on, you never forget about them. And you still miss them. And you still have moments of crying. But that pain obviously subsides. Well, okay, breakup, same thing, right? But when something is PTSD deep inside of you that occurred to you, happened to you, or you saw, It doesn't pass with time. It's still sitting there dormant, and it will present itself in ways you're not even conscious of until you start facing it.
What about brain spotting? I know a couple who have done that process after a very traumatic loss in their life of an infant, and like so. You've mentioned that you've done that, right?
Yeah, it's pretty effective. It's like everything else. It's very personal whether or not it's going to help you. I'm a gotcha. Big proponent of brain spotting. EMDR is very effective for some. Mm-hmm. I've literally seen firsthand how it'd be completely ineffective for others. And again, therapy is not effective, right? For many people. True. It's all mindset. It's the therapist, things like that. But there are plenty of other ways out there, talking to other people that have been through similar things, et cetera.
And the weird thing, I don't know if this has been anyone else's experience, but I did EMDR and it was amazing with this one particular thing that I just don't share publicly, but a few people know that happened to me, and EMDR was literally the only thing that took it away.
Oh, that's amazing.
But anything else I tried with it,
We're going to play the pressure cooker right now. We got a pair of tickets to see Foreigner at Hard Rock Live Sacramento on Friday night, October 18th. Plus, you win your tickets. You're qualified for the grand prize drawing a week from tomorrow. One of you will be upgraded to the front row with said tickets. The pressure cooker is our daily trivia game we play every single day, although we don't get a winner every single day.
Sure don't.
It's trivia. You either know it or you don't.
You don't.
Five right, 30 seconds. None of that matters unless you're caller 18 right now.
You can do it.
888-989-9811. Caller 18 plays the pressure cooker.
Rob. Anybody. And Dawn. The Rob. Anybody. And Dawn Show.